Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John, the Extra Hour. If you missed us, we've been talking about asking the question, you know, is America under God's judgment, to begin to refresh ourselves? And you can see the whole thing. We're just having a conversation about what you can see on at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and you can watch or listen to it. And it's just answering the questions, you know, laying it out like we would in a courtroom. The evidence, present the evidence. What does the law say? What is the evidence? Has it happened already? And I was talking about the first phase of judgment. And the first phase is a judgment, if you missed it, was if you fail to acknowledge God and begin to exchange reality for images made to look like reality, and then begin to worship those images, which means worth, those are worth more to me than reality is, what God has given to me. Then he says, well, then he turns us over, and it's God that turns us over. And I believe I'm just going to talk about this first phase of judgment, and you can go hear the rest of it at VFN TV, because I wanted to tell you what's going on right now, God's news behind the news, but we have to begin to see on every side, we're seeing the fulfillment of all this. And, you know, I'm like Josiah saying, Lord, would you spare us? Mm. And it may seem kind of selfish, but the thing is that we can win more people. We can do more work being free than under captivity. But what happens is in the first phase of judgment, Romans chapter 1, you know, when we fail to acknowledge God and be grateful and exchange reality for images made to look like, in verse 24, he says, so therefore God, because of this, therefore God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. I mean, see the transitions happen right there where, okay, this was going on. Therefore, this is what the judge says. The judge says, okay, this is what I'm going to turn you over to. And it's for the degrading of the body, not the destruction of the soul. Mm. And it's discipline. Consider hardship as discipline. God's treating us as a son. In any moment, I mean, just even the threat like Nineveh of this thing about to happen, we can say, God, forgive us. You're right. We've sinned. Dear God, forgive us. And we can begin to do what we weren't doing, which is just repentance. And then all of a sudden it just stops. Mm. It just stops. But there's two other phases of judgment that obviously if you look around and just if you're open up to begin to look around, obviously the first phase of judgment, the discipline that has come our way to turn us back to him has already begun to happen. And then it escalates, by the way. If we don't respond to this situation, then it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and there is an eventual outcome where God, the Spirit of God does not always contend with men. All of a sudden, God just says, the end. Mm-hmm. The end. Even to a nation, he'll just go, boom, it's over. Wow. And, you know, Rome fell in a day, they said. Mm-hmm. You look at all of a sudden where one day in Egypt you had the president of Egypt.
Morsi.
Not Morsi, but his predecessor.
Mubarak.
Yeah, Mubarak was president, and one day he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so here's Morsi. And then all of a sudden, it's like, one day Morsi's president, and one day he wasn't.
That's right.
We're no different. You know, God loves Egyptians as much as he loves Americans. Mm-hmm. But that's probably shocker to you. That's shocker to a lot of people. And they're blindsided. You know, they don't prideful. God loves the Egyptian people. Mm-hmm. And so in the context of that can happen to us as much, you know, why are we any different? Mm-hmm. You know, if we do what God says don't do, why would he not say in a day the nation could come down? And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing two things go on, as I said earlier in the first hour, that no matter what happens to men's kingdoms, God's kingdom expands and stands. So this is not what's going to happen to the church, per se. This is just what's going to happen. It may be happening to what we perceive as the church. But to the church itself, it'll live, it'll thrive, it'll expand. As a matter of fact, the fear of the Lord will spread, and it'll probably be pretty awesome.
Yeah, right.
But God just turns that nation over, and it just progresses. If we don't turn, then it goes to a second phase, and if the second phase doesn't, the discipline doesn't happen, it doesn't turn us back and correct us, then it goes to the third phase, and it's just like, hey, pay attention. You got to, if you have not yet heard it, go to, you're going to be surprised how far along in the phases that we're in and how close we are. How close we are if the church does not rise up and begin to be a watchman on the wall and prophesy and begin to speak out the truth. And David, even David said, listen, my bones were being crushed and that, you know, my sin was ever before me. And he said, if you'll cleanse me with hyssop, if you'll prepare me and cleanse me, then... and renew my spirit, he says, then I'll teach other people your way. Teach other people your ways, which means, you know, let's deal with ourselves first and understand that doesn't disqualify you to be able to tell other people. It actually qualifies you to begin to now tell everybody, hey, this is God's way. Let's walk in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Let's walk in God's way. And so, but I see a huge storm. I see a huge storm being fashioned against America. I just see it. I can't help. I mean, I don't want to see it. I avoid trying to look at it. You know, I don't, but you hear, it's like, it's just being fashioned in so many different ways. It's being fashioned. It's like, you know, and this is what America does. When America used to do, when America goes to war, we don't just kind of like, you know, fire an arrow first and then work our way up to a pistol and then a shotgun. You know, we went in there, we would go in there like boom, just everything. Shocking, we'd come in from every angle to make sure that this is our goal, this is our objective, we're going to meet our objective. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there was a vast array of things happening in the theater of war that were all of a sudden going to be enacted that was going to take the adversary by surprise. And there's going to be so much confusion that they weren't going to be able to get together with their commanders or whatever. And everybody's going to be, some people are going to be bought out, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, we're seeing that happen right now, you know, being bought out and saying, I'll give you this kind of money if you'll turn on Hussein, for example. And we did all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, it happens like the mother of all bombs, everything starts coming in. And that's the way war is done. Well, now, if you could see what was about to happen, if you could see it, then you would have seen the very first plan. You would have seen some things gathering around. You would have seen some spies. You would have seen this. You would have seen that. And so if you could see it all happening, then you're going to get that sense, hey, there's something not right. You've got mm-hmm. people who don't like us, who don't want us to stand, who is not for America and for God and for the Constitution and all that, that... they're surrounding us. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about. When you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you're seeing those things that other people get caught by surprise by. Mm-hmm. And that's called a prophet. They can see that. But the reason why God reveals it is so you can hear it and like Nineveh just say, you know what? Hey, God, I'm sorry. God, we're wrong. And it's going to be a big shift because we've just been real prideful. You know, we've been real self-reliant, and we've allowed people. We vote. The reason why people are in the 530 some odd people who are in Washington D.C. who the 300 million blame for everything, were there because the 300 million voted for them and put them there. So it's not mm-hmm. how could it be their fault
right.
if you voted for them to go there? It's so ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. the government by the people and for the people. We have to take ownership for where we are. We mm-hmm. are Josiah. Mm-hmm. And so here's the news report today. I mean, the news report today that in regards to our embassies, you know, our embassy got attacked in Libya, and we lost our ambassador and some fine soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And never resolved. And today... there was a day that our enemy was on the run from us. But because of all these things that we've done, now we are once a nation that stood strong, and had clarity that it wasn't double-minded. And I'll be talking about double-mindedness this week, but you have a double-minded nation who gets nothing from God, by the way. We're now in 19 cities across the Middle East, it's reported by CBN News, in the Middle East and North Africa, that we are having our embassies emptied out and the ambassadors are exiting for their lives. And that's our defensive mechanism. Run. It sounds like AI, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember AI after Jericho?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, somebody's got my stuff.
Mm.
Right? Something's not right.
Yep.
And that's what God told Joshua. Something's not right. You know, it was working at Jericho, but it ain't working at AI. And now we're running. America. America is running. Listen, it's not for us to throw our chest out and say, what are you doing? It's for us to throw our knees down and go, dear God. What Joshua began to do, and it was a different day and a different time, and it was, you know, God's direct government set up. He said, start bringing everybody before me. After he got off his knees and going through the emotional, oh my goodness, it's not good. Start bringing everybody past me. All the families, all the men, all the women, all the children. And he was waiting for God to let him know who is the one that's done this. Because they were going to bring destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the ones that done that, who's done this? And eventually, God identifies one particular man. And his name was Achan. And he said, what did you do? And he said, well, you know, I just couldn't turn down the bribe. I couldn't turn down the pay. I couldn't turn down the union position. I couldn't turn down the promotion, the retirement, the house, the stuff, the things, the sex, whatever it was, you know, for today. But then it was a wedge of gold and a nice coat.
Mm.
And God says, that's mine. It's not yours. You shouldn't be touching that. You shouldn't be touching that. And he said, I couldn't resist it. So he took it to his house and he hid it. And he didn't tell anybody about it until God revealed it.
Mm.
But God knew it was there. God knows what's in your house. He knows what's in your walls. He knows what's in everywhere. And all of God's people were suffering because of the situation. And he had to deal with it. Because he said, if you don't deal with this, this is what God said. And this was God's plan. This was God's plan for his people to come into the promised land. Joshua was just doing what God had asked him to do. Joshua had done nothing wrong. And all of a sudden, he's saying, listen, if you don't deal with this, I, God, am leaving. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Did he not say that?
That's what he said.
I'm out of here. I'm leaving. My hands are coming off America, and I'm gone. If you don't deal with this, if you don't deal with this situation, if he said that to Joshua, you don't think he would say that to America? And the problem is we're so integrated with darkness now. The fabric of our nation is so interwoven with darkness. To be able to bring this nation to a place of repentance would take a surgeon probably to begin to pull the threads out that are wrong. And I'm telling you, all things are possible with God. But the issue is God works through men.
Yeah.
Like he was working through Joshua. And he told Joshua this. He said, listen, if you don't deal with this, because somebody's got my stuff, you know, somebody did what I told them not to do, all you guys are going to suffer. And I'm going to leave. And think about it. You're going to leave me, God? You're going to leave America? You're just going to leave? And there's a lot of people right now who are saying, that will never happen. God's got a covenant with America. Well, look, like you don't have a covenant with Israel?
Right.
Israel went through a time of deep discipline. So when he found out who it was, he found out what happened, he confronted them, then everything that was Achan's, the memories of him and everything was totally just, the earth split and swallowed him up.
Mm.
There was an outward sign of God's heart. So everybody had a fear of the Lord. So let's just don't disobey God. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take something like that. And I think about this football player that murdered the man up north.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a star at his college campus in Florida. And as soon as they saw what he did, they had like memorials for him prior to this happening. Memorial things. They mm-hmm. had statues or stones in the ground, banners hanging, just all this kind of stuff to just say he went here.
Mm-hmm.
They began to pull them down, dig them up, remove them. Every sign of him was being removed from that campus.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you something. You know, God could do that to America.
Oh, yeah.
We can be a bygone conversation. Do you remember Rome in its former days? Do you remember, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in a day, all of a sudden, nobody, it's just, God just puts a repulse in everybody's heart towards, and right now in the world, you know, America's not well thought of. Not well thought of at all in so many different places. And that can turn on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That can turn on us. And so he dealt with it. And when he dealt with it, God gave them victory. Do we have the integrity and the fortitude to deal with it? Does the church have the fortitude to say, you know, we just got to stop this. Personally, we got to deal with it like David did when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, you know, and then he began to teach other people God's ways and say, this is how we're going to go. Joshua got off of his face and, you know, buried the folks that they lost and clothed the shame of the soldiers who were butt naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do we have that kind of integrity? Do we have that kind of ability in the church today? Are we so independent and so prideful that we won't let anybody speak into our life today?
Mm.
Right? I mean, it takes great humility to allow a leader to rise up and say, this is which way we're going to go. You know, get that out of your house. Mm. Well, you can tell me what to do in this building, but you can't tell me what to do in my house.
Mm.
Now you're confronted. What are you going to do? Are you going to just say goodbye to God in his presence, in your church, in your ministry? Or are you going to say goodbye to Achan?
Mm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I say, I'm just talking, you know, how it is. And it's like, it's going to take somebody who's willing to make some real tough decisions to say, you know, this is the way of the Lord. Let's walk in it. Let's go in this way. And a double-minded man gets nothing from God, and an unclear sound people will not follow. If you are not leading your home, if you're not leading your business that you say is a Christian business, if you're not leading, you know, your church as a pastor, if you're not leading what God's called you to do with clarity, I mean, they're not going to follow. They're just not going to follow. But when you begin to lead it as clarity and with clarity, you're going to find out who wasn't following in the first place. And you got to be willing to let them go. Because you don't want to give up the presence of God.
Mm.
You want God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You want God. Remember, it's all alone with you and God at the end. You stand before his throne alone. We love others. And we minister them. We help their needs be met. But we don't let them determine whether we're going to follow God or not. We follow God despite what people do.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what people do. And so here we are 19 embassies and 19 cities in the Middle East and North Africa. We presently have our State Department closing them down because they are fearful of Al-Qaeda terrorists having a major attack on U.S. officials. And so we're running for our lives, reported by CBN News today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dad, you've got a special role in your daughter's life. With Focus on the Family Minute, this is John Fuller. Dr. Kevin Lehman shares how you can communicate your love to your daughter in a way that she feels it.
He affirms her femininity, number one. He affirms the fact that she's a little girl, you know, and he takes time to listen to her. Now, women use 2.5, 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day or week. With women, you got to be patient. You have to listen. They have a need to talk, to share. Most men aren't real big on that. Most men thrive on arm's length relationships. But the last thing your daughter needs from you, gentlemen, is an arm's length relationship.
It may be uncomfortable. Okay, it will be uncomfortable. But you can connect with your little girl, and it'll be worth the effort. Learn more about that daddy-daughter relationship from Dr. Lehman today on FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Hey, we were just talking about what God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord, and the things that we've heard and I've heard is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something we prayed for a long time? You know, we pray for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talked about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Sure. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And let you put
a sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Just joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about they're reporting that the U.S. Embassy, embassies are closing in the Middle East and in North Africa. They're expecting some Al-Qaeda attack from, they have insight on it or whatever, and we're running. We are running. The AI has arrived. And if you would have heard some of the things that has been said, we need to pray for our nation and ask God to protect, you know, our nation and our ambassadors that are there. But I just want to think, I want you to think about this. It's so, you know, they say the difference between success and failure quite often is 5 more minutes. You know, just 5 more minutes. Which means so many people give up because they were just burnt out. They did everything they could do. And if they would have just hung in there 5 more minutes, then they would have succeeded.
Mm.
Well, think about this. The difference in when you're looking at the history books, the difference in a hero and an enemy is so close, because the history books today, if General George Washington would not have won the battles in the American Revolution, he would be in the history books as an enemy, as a rebel that rose up and tried to come against the king, but were thankful to the soldiers who were able to repress the uprising, and he would be, that's how he would be written in the history books. But he happened to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's like politics, you know. It's like how people's like, yeah, okay, and this is the mindset of the person who's just like an everyday Joe, but the day that he wins the election or she wins the election, all of society, just not all of society, but most of these folks who respond to those kind of folks, they have a different viewpoint. It's like, it was 4 more votes than the other person. I mean, right. It didn't change everything, but that's how history books are. I mean, that's what happens. If you win, you win. But the thing about it, history would write something different, which means this, that, you know, opportunity, and, you know, John Kilpatrick, Brother Kilpatrick, he says this particular statement, which is pretty good if I have it right here. You know, opportunity always comes with positive. Opportunity is an uncertain event with a positive, probable consequence.
Say that again.
Opportunity is an uncertain event. Everybody wants stable and this stuff.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Uncertain event with a positive, probable outcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Or consequence is the word to use. And people don't like that kind of stuff. They want to, you know, if they are George Washington number two, they go, well, tell me how this is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that if General George Washington and the others would have lost everybody that signed the Declaration of Independence, there would have been a manhunt.
No doubt.
And they would have hunted up, you know, John Henry and the crew, and they would have hung them all.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, it would have been accepted as normal because the king was in authority at that mm-hmm. particular time, and there was an uprising, and that's how it seemed. But the thing about it is, George Washington won.
Mm-hmm.
God gave favor to George and the crew. And he won. And so all of a sudden, instead of him being an enemy of the king, he became a hero of a dream called America.
Mm.
So the tension, that tight line between a hero or an enemy, it's amazing how that works. It's just so close. It's so close to how that thing is going to turn. And very few people are willing to take the risk. An opportunity always requires risk. Mm-hmm. They had a dream. They had a dream that we could be in a nation for free, with freedom, that every man's given the opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that all their rights come from God. And it was just a dream. And at the onset, that And, you know, heroes are not looking to be heroes. They're looking to be able to do what's right, what they perceive right at the time. And if they're successful, then society quite often will see them as a hero and write about them in the history books. But if it doesn't succeed, believe me, you know, your enemy's not going to write well about you in the history books. All the schools that are controlled by the government and the king, I mean, they're going to write about George's coming against the king and an uprising and that type of thing. But look, he's on every dollar bill. You know, we honor him, and we rightfully so. He's a founding father of our nation. But understand, it wasn't before it was.
That's right.
There's a moment in time when you weren't in an accident in the car, and then you were in an accident in the car. I mean, right, just barely before you were in that accident, you weren't in it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But then you were in it. There was a moment in time when we were still under the king. I mean, just barely. I mean, we weren't there. We were still under the king, but then we weren't. You know what I'm saying? Understanding you can't, it's all a positive probability. There's risk involved in doing what's right, and you have to be willing to stand up for what's right. These are the leaders that stand up. Maybe those leadership qualities are inside of you and say, you know what? I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up in my church. I'm going to stand up in my community. I'm going to stand up in my state. I'm going to stand up in the nation. And within the context of the laws of this land and under the leadership of our God and humility before our Lord and dependency on the cross of Christ, I'm going to stand up and say, listen, you know, this is a good country. God has blessed us. This is a land that was formed on Judeo-Christian values. Let's work our way back. Let's work our way back to the founding principles of the founding fathers. Let's re-embrace that. And the first thing we're going to have to do is do what George Washington did after winning the battle and becoming the hero was pray. Pray. Get down on his knee and prayed. Dear God, and he said, this is what they say. This is what our founding fathers say, that this country will not work if there's not any values. Mm. It just doesn't work.
Right.
It does not work without God. And the way things are set up, you know, some countries run this way, some countries run that way. There's this form of government over here, and there's this form of government over there. And our form of government does not work if we do not live by the laws of our God and of nature, how things happen, how God designed things to happen. Mm-hmm. And we are moving outside of all that, which says it's going to take an earth-splitting experience and heroes, which are truly seen as enemies, to rise up and say what was right and realize that it is a positive probability that by God's grace, and that's what happened with George Washington, God just gave him favor and did things for him that gave him victories after many failures. And all of a sudden, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a day, all of a sudden, it was.
Yeah.
And the journey began. And if you're within the laws of your Constitution, and you're within the laws of the land and the laws of God, and you stand up, you know, realize there's nothing wrong with that. But realize, too, just like when our founding fathers stood up, there was a lot of negative response. People that wanted their lives, that wanted to destroy them, that all kinds of attacks. But it was worth it. It's given us, 230 years of an idea.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 230 years of becoming a nation that's been so blessed that the poorest amongst us is richer than 80% of the world. A nation has been so blessed that in our past, we've been able to stand with Israel and be there to sign the paperwork to be able to bring them into a place that reformed them as a nation in 1948 and bless them and protect them. And so who's going to be those folks? I mean, who's going to be the ones that stand up for what's right? Who's going to stand up? Who's going to be the ones that don't ridicule, you know, men and women who are human beings that said, I'll try, I'll go run for an office. These are my values. And don't expect them to be you know, perfect or panderer to pander to any special ed, but just to do what's right.
Yeah.
Just to do what's right. And if we quit turning to government, then we can let those kind of leaders lead and turn to God. If you turn to government as God, then you're trying to get the right person into some particular leadership so that your God, government, can meet your needs. But if we turn back to God, and it's a tell between two kings. If you haven't yet seen it on VFN TV, go to VFNTV.com and watch SOS, A Tell Between Two Kings. Because the decision is our government God or is God God? We have to make up our mind because God will just give us what we ask for.
That's right.
If we say government's our God, what you're seeing right now is socialism coming in like a flood. But you're seeing people turn to government as God for provision and protection. And we're letting government violate all our many of our constitutional rights. And they're not blinking. And we're not blinking either. And it's like, you know, should you be really searching me like that? I mean, didn't there be a warrant for this? And nobody's blinking. And that's a sign that we're being turned over. And, but think about it. You could be a hero in the making. It don't take many. They say it just takes 10%. I believe the numbers were maybe 30% of Americans at the time of the American Revolution. There was only 30% that actually participated.
Or engaged.
Yeah, engaged. And 70% just kind of just waited to see how it turned out.
Wow. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and that's, of course, the whole thing is a smaller number. By then, you're looking at the...
All right.
Still 30%. It's still 30%.
And, of course, I'm not advocating anything like that. I'm just saying, in the context of what already exists, the Constitution, just stand up for what's right. Just stand up for the Constitution. Stand up for God. Stand up for the rights that we have been given under God, from God, that are written in the Constitution, not rebelling against government or anything like that. That's totally not anything. It's not going to work out like that. But we have a land of laws, and that was George Washington's comments were, you know, we're a land of laws, that we can argue these laws, we can, you know, make our point. If we can make our point clear enough and good enough, then the laws will change. And then we live by different laws. And so once a law is made, it's not a law forever. We can actually change that. That's what's so interesting about the Constitution, that the way it's set up, that we can say, what were we thinking? And we can undo some particular laws.
Right.
And so I just want to encourage you. Maybe you're that hero. And what the outcome of it is, you know, yeah, it could end up where they accuse you of being the enemy. But the truth is, you were just Paul bringing the gospel to a city, and they just didn't want to hear it. And so they locked you up. But you know what? While you're in jail, what you can do?
Yeah.
You know, you can write. You can write letters. And those letters today, we call them the prison epistles. He continued to minister despite a government that saw him as an adversary, when the truth was he was for them all.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I like that subway idea. You know, I've been having that on my heart as well. So we must be, you know, we must be connected there. But
Uh-huh. I'm definitely going to, you know, I'm really going to work real hard to get
something
me a
about
sailboat.
A sailboat, and you just, I don't know, they're
no,
not, it's not
no,
clicking.
Come on, man.
It's not clicking.
Listen, you know that I'm basically a fish. I love the water. I love the uh-huh. ocean.
So why don't you go diving then?
But I've been on a boat with you. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't get it.
But that was a one-time experience, Chris, on the boat many, many years ago, at night, no less.
Right.
And the most
even
choppy.
Better, you don't see the waves.
Oh, I felt every bit of those waves in the dark. Man, I was.
If you're such a fish, though, why won't you go diving?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. I like to be on
he's
top.
A little minnow.
I like to be on top of the water. Now, I don't know how so much down, you know?
Okay.
But I, you know, do like the water sports, you
scared?
Know? Scared? I don't want to say scared. Concerned. Concerned would be a good word. You know, I told this story what happened to me and my brother-in-law one time going on that kayak, you know, with this big school of fish. I've shared that. Oh, yes, yes.
No, what
sure, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Please, dude, confess.
You know, me and Jerry were on this kayak, and it's a beautiful day, man. Those kayaks, they give you an illusion because on the water, they feel like they weigh nothing. But them things are like about 100 pounds of solid plastic. Yeah, at least 100 pounds. It's got to be
this
more
is
than
a kayak?
A kayak.
When you sit down it, okay.
Right. It was a two-man kayak. It's pretty big, probably maybe 12 feet long, probably. Okay. And there's just solid plastic, you know, they're built, but mm-hmm. they float in the water and all that. Well, the waves are really choppy, so the one side has a handle and the other for that person to carry. You need two grown men to carry this thing. There's no one man can drag this that mm-hmm. heavy. And so we're in the water and the waves are just all over the place and just smashing us, and we're like, we're gonna go into the deep we're gonna do this thing, we're gonna conquer these little waves. So we finally, you know, we fell over a couple times. You get a good wave, it's a 200 pound weapon. It's gonna bang your, you know, ankles or your shin right underneath you. I mean, it's, you got to get out there pretty quick, because
wow.
if you stay in the shallow, that thing will beat you to death.
Right, it's no joke.
So we get out there and we hop on and we're paddling towards the wave now, towards the wave. So you're rising up with the water, man, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know. And you got to keep your balance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making it good. We're like going way out deep now. We've overcome a couple waves. We, you know,
feeling good about yourself, huh?
Huh? Yeah, you're feeling good because we haven't we have fallen.
Capsized.
Yeah, we've fallen about five times prior to that, you know. So now we're doing good, and all of a sudden, we're in deep water now. We're past the part where
you're in no man's land now.
No man's land. You know, in the beach, there's a certain portion where they have the rope. Past this far, you know.
You're on your own bow.
So the lifeguards are not responsible for you. We have passed the rope, and all of a sudden, okay, before a huge wave comes, there seems to be like this valley, this valley before the wave is it's cresting up over you. And all of a sudden, we see this huge, huge school of fish. And I'm telling you, these fish had to be at least, I don't know, they look like 3 feet long in length and maybe 2 feet wide. And it were these dark, dark black spots. I'm thinking, what kind of fish could, what is this?
Uh-huh.
What is this?
Right.
And we're like, oh no, we're like, don't fall. Oh my goodness, Jared, there's a school right below. Don't fall in this. Don't. And as soon as we said don't fall, we fell right over them.
Oh no.
Man, you haven't seen two men move so fast. He says that I caused the kayak to fall over.
Well, you probably did.
No, I didn't. I was paddling really good, you know. Moving side to side. You can get it, you use both sides of this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we fell. I didn't jump the gun, and I didn't blame him, you know. But he tends to blame me on that one, but man, that was a blast. I mean, it's so much fun. We made it back to shore.
Did you ever see the fish up close?
No, praise God. I mean, they just came right underneath us, I guess, kept going. But I thought, okay, I'm going to be with Jesus out here.
It's over.
It's over. These things are going to get me, whatever they are.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Man, not too long ago, I even saw a stingray that came real close up to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, but I'm an ocean guy, and I liked it. Been on the jet skis, I like that,
uh-huh.
but I think it's in.
I'm going to get you under the ocean one day.
No, I don't know about under.
I'm going to get you under.
I don't know about under, but I definitely want to, you know, cruise the water, do a little, you know, Christopher Columbus type stuff, and, you know, uh-huh. get out there and explore a little bit.
Right.
Mm. You know, my son and I had a journey on a canoe, but that's for another time on VFN Radio.
We don't have time for that.
No, we don't have time, and that was a very interesting moment, but in the water. We got to be in the water. We survived it. We made it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We got Pat and John joining me here, getting onto a lighter note, a lighter note of something totally distracted us for a moment from what we've been talking about. And not to turn away just for a moment. For years, and I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to music.
Yes,
I like music.
You like it all?
I do. I really do like. I like music. I really like to watch the people who like that they're singing. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, wow, it's coming. It's their gift or whatever. And I like a couple songs with bagpipes, but that's where I struggle when you get to the fourth song. It's like, do you have another instrument? Please. And but then you hear people, for example, and I have nothing against the country type music or different sounds, but I hear a lot of, you know, country music people, obviously, I guess, down in the Bible Belt or whatever, that they, you know, Jesus take the wheel type stuff, the were just speaking against, you know, other genres of music and say that's just terrible music. And you kind of just buy into it because, you know, so many people who profess to love the Lord quite often will say, you know, that they love country music or that type of thing down in the southern parts of America. And if you listen to the station, and some of the stations, you have, you know, one song, you know, says, you know, I left my sunglasses with a prostitute last night in the bar. And the next song says, Jesus take the wheel.
Right.
And then the next song says, you know, on the other hand, the golden band. It reminds me of someone. And then the next song says, you know, I was just baptized last night, and I'm fresh, like, but, you know, but the thing is that, so I'm on my motorcycle, and just taking a ride, and going through the country, and there's nothing, it's pretty cool to do that, because you don't have anything blocking your visual aspect of it, plus you have nobody running you over.
Safe.
That's important.
Yeah, and I'm riding along, and I've never been to this particular place before, and I didn't even know what it was when I got there. But there's this big metal building with a porch on the front of it and some people on the front porch in rocking chairs, and had all these like places you could park, I guess, an RV or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Maybe quite a few of them behind it, but it was like in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have my helmet on and my motorcycle. I'm riding my motorcycle. And so I'm just like, what meanest thou this? What is this thing, you know? And it could have been somebody's house or something, or somebody's property. And so I drove around. I drove through the place out in the back just thinking, you know, and I'm sure they're thinking, who is this bass man riding around here on a motorcycle? And then I circled the building thinking, should I even, you know, talk or whatever, you know, about them? And what am I doing? And so I finally like, well, I'm going to pull up. So I pulled all the way up to the guys on the front porch, you know, and they're... walking, leaning back in the chairs, and I'm like, is this a place to get something to eat? And they paused for quite some time, and they said, yep. You know, you just didn't know. You just didn't know. I thought, well, okay, well, I'm gonna park. This is pretty cool. I'm gonna be out here in the country and have this country food or whatever is behind that wall. And so I take all my stuff off and put it on my bike, and they're kind of looking where I'm parking my bike. And I'm thinking, man, I hope it's in the right place. And anyway, so I find out it was called the Country Opera Shemukla opera, something like mm-hmm. that, the opera thing, and country opera, where you go and you eat food and they sing.
Mm.
They sing. So,
food and sing.
Wow.
I cannot think of the place's name. Say my voice. Anyway, so.
That's close enough.
It's closed. It's closed down now.
I won't be looking
It's
for
closed
it.
Down.
It's closed down.
Oh, imagine what? That.
Hold on a minute. Wait. And so I go in there. I'm thinking, and these, I'm telling you, country folks, they're the nicest folks. I just love being around. They're kind. They're, as long as you're mm-hmm. kind and polite, I mean, yeah. they're going to be kind and polite back. And they were just very welcoming and came in. You pay one price and they give you all that kind of stuff. And seeing that it was the only place within miles mm-hmm. to eat, like, this is where I'm going to eat. And you eat, and then you go to another place and they have a stage and they're going to have a singing. And so they get up and start to sing. And I wasn't until I was in my 40s to listen to lyrics. I really realized I didn't listen. Even though me having sung lyrics, I didn't even connect. They did not even connect in my mind.
Right.
But maybe you just hit this soft state in your 40s or something, you know. Like T.D. Jakes said. So there comes a day when you look at your wife and say, just hold me. You get more emotional or whatever. Anyway, so right. I'm listening to lyrics, obviously, now. And so I go in there, and they have this 9-year-old girl, beautiful little girl, that's in boots. It looks like her granddaddy boots. I mean, they're so big. And she's prancing back and forth on the stage, and she is singing very well, very well. And they're playing music for her. But before they started singing, they said, we want to just bow our head and pray. And we have some prayer needs. And had them written on a board over there, whiteboard, the prayer needs. I'm like, dude, wow. I have found heaven in the middle of nowhere. You know, I'm really thinking, you know, what meanest thou this? And so here they are. They begin. So all of a sudden they've said the prayers, you know, and they're fixing to start singing. And of course, it's going to be country music. Mm-hmm. And so this little 9-year-old girl starts singing lyrics. You know, you got to understand. So the country folks were putting down other genres of music. And I found out, I'm thinking, you're saying the same thing with a different beat. Mm. It's the same stuff. And so this 9-year-old girl, I mean, these lyrics, you know, you just have to understand me. I'm amazed quite often. And so she starts
singing. Did you write them down?
Huh?
Did you write them down?
I got fixed to tell them to you. I'm tell you some lyrics right here.
Only who pulls out a pen in the middle of
Yeah, right. No, right. I was trying to. They probably thought I was texting someone. I'm like, my goodness, I miss a lot. But I'm thinking, this is amazing. So you have a 9-year-old girl. This is what she says. She says, I was the only hell my mama ever raised. Sweetheart, you're 9. Those boots are big. And then you just, what's going on? And then she sings another song that says, you know, and the lyrics basically said, you know, the reason why I'm in this bar at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, as being a loose woman, is because you did this to me.
What?
You know, I'm like,
oh my God,
I'm looking around at people's faces going, do you know what you just said? Do you know what y'all are doing?
Is this alarming anybody here?
I'm thinking like, whoa. And then I'm starting thinking like, and you folks been talking about the other genres of music, right? And so then, another song is sung. And this is the lyrics. I'm lying here with Linda on my mind. I'm lying here with Linda on my mind. Beside the one I'll soon leave behind, who is crying as she lays there, and there's nothing I can do because I have these feelings of love for this other girl and the way that she held my hand.
Mm.
I'm thinking, his wife's crying in bed. She knows he's leaving. She knows he's leaving for another woman. And a 9-year-old girl's singing this song going, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is tragic. This is tragic. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then she sings, I'm the black sheep of the family. You know? And I'm thinking, what is this? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, I realize, you know, obviously that, you know, lyrics are lyrics and then music is music. But if you pull away the music and the lyrics are the same, I guess there's no difference in the context of it. And I can see where somebody could, you know, you could disconnect. But when you actually listen to the lyrics, well, then I happen to watch the news in our area and find out that they closed down this particular place. It was back there, and it was real nice people, you know. Mm-hmm. And the news, and I find out this little girl is the one that's made it on America's Got Talent.
You're kidding.
Really?
And she was from our area, and I think she's like in the finals or something like that. But this is the young girl that would prance back and forth and say, you know, here I am laying here with Linda on my mind.
Mm.
Besides someone I'm about to leave behind. I'm not saying anything. I mean, I like country music, I guess, like everybody else likes country music in regards to, you know, matter of fact, Pat sang some last night, and we joined in country gospel.
He was good. He was good.
Wasn't he? It was like, yeah.
I was lip singing.
yeah. But Ronnie Joyce, you know, in our area does country gospel and all that, and it's pretty cool. But I was just shocked. I just never really thought much about the lyrics and the context of it.
That day you did, though.
I did. But then, you know, music's like, it's bipolar. Some radio stations seem like they're bipolar, where they go from one genre to the next. And it's like this deep, dark stuff. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus Takes the Wheel.
Right.
And it's like, my goodness, what are we feeding into our spirits? What are we taking in these songs? And then you start seeing reflected in our worship music. Mm-hmm. Then you're starting to see songs that sound just like the lyrics of the song of the day, where it seems like, are you singing about cheating on Jesus? Are you singing about your concern? Here I am laying next to Jesus with the world on my mind. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really? I mean, haven't you heard some of the new songs? I was like, are you more in love with God or the world? Which one? Because if you love the world, he says you're an enemy of God. And, you know, I was joking around about, you know, the lyrics and the country music and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is that, you know, we're either for God or we're against Him.
That's it.
And we can't be here with God with the world on our mind.
Right.
And we can have issues and things can arise, but understand, you know, God, like everybody else, Jesus wants His bride to be loyal to Him and in love with Him. And the songs that we sing about Him are not songs wanting to have another God, but wanting to be with Him forever. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.